You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
About 3 years ago, Flint, Michigan residents began complaining to officials that their tap water is coming out with a disgusting brownish tinge and nasty odor. Now, the state and city dismissed their claims for months until authorities confirmed that the toxic lead was leaching out of the city's pipe and into the drinking water. You know, after a long, hard-fought legal victory, people of Flint will finally get their damaged lead pipes replaced as a result of a settlement agreement approved March 28, 2017 by a federal judge. Now, Flint has gotten a great deal of publicity, but how about our towns and cities across America? How can we find out if our water is clean, free of toxins and heavy metals? Now, today on Wellness for Life, we have Dr. Eric Fielding. He is a public health epidemiologist, nutritionist, and health economist. He is also the founder of and the executive director of ToxicAlert.org. It's actually the first digital geo-social network for clean water supply and combined public water alert system. Now, great to have you here, Dr. Ding.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Let's get some details on our lead levels in our drinking water in America. Now, really, how bad is it? We know about Flint, but how bad is it in general?
I think in general, it's worse than anyone can imagine. And I say can imagine because so many of us don't even know how bad it is, because millions have almost no information. So first of all, the latest 2015 studies from NRDC says there's 18 million people at least who are drinking lead contaminated water or with high lead contaminated water in the past 4 years. And so that is an incredible number. And the USA Today says that over 2,000 water systems in the United States have had lead problems in the last years as well. And that is actually just the tip of the iceberg. There are actually millions and millions more living in rural areas who don't have annual water testing. And so we're talking about millions more people who are drinking potentially lead contaminated water. So the problem is way beyond Flint nationwide.
Well, you know, I actually was very interested in your website. In this, it's a brand new site, I believe. It hasn't been around long. And I was interested in my area, in Los Angeles area. So what was really cool about your website, ToxinAlert.org, is that it will map out different areas, you know, where the EPA has actually tested out the levels, and then you've posted it on your map. Now, what I've noticed, which was amazing, was there's different kinds there was two different types of water that you actually posted about. It's water that's surface water, and then there's water that's drinking. Can you tell us the difference between that first?
Right. So Toxin Alert is a really great comprehensive website that we built. So we built it completely out of our own resources. Our hope was that if we build it, people will realize how valuable it is as a resource, because to find the data from the EPA and other sources, it's almost impossible, even for someone who's very educated. So we aggregated all the data nationwide from a combination of EPA and U.S. Geological Survey of drinking water systems that have reported to the EPA, as well as a combination of surface and groundwater from the U.S. Geological Survey. And these data is up to nationwide. And all you have to go to toxinalert.org and add in your address, and it maps it out. And there you can see all the different flag warnings. We have green, yellow, orange, red for basically high alerts, warnings, cautionary advisories, and everything is seemingly okay. For all these different neighborhoods in the country. And we update it quarterly whenever new data is available. And you can add your home address or address of a family member you care about anywhere in the country and save it. And we can alert you whenever new data arises and there may be something of interest that you may want to know.
Well, I went into detail about this because I'm someone that is very concerned about our water source and the toxicity in our water. In my book, The 7-Day Allergy Makeover, that was published 3 years ago by Penguin, on day two, it was all about water. And I talk about the toxins that are in it, including the heavy metals, but also fluoride and et cetera. What I love about your toxinalert.org website is that it does show the differences, and also you talk about safe waters for schools. Now, to me, all the kids, I know they drink out of the little spouts, right? We all did growing up, but some of these schools can be very, very toxic, right?
Oh, yeah. So vast majority of schools in the country were built before 1980. So the lead piping ban for construction basically stopped in late 70s, early 80s. But most of the schools in the country, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of schools, were built way before that. So basically, all these schools have lead pipes. And in the school water testing, we have some schools in our database where available, but for the most part, most schools, you have no idea what it is. And even if they've done testing, they oftentimes don't report to the EPA. So what we did was build a specifically a sub-campaign within toxinalert.org called the Safe Water for Schools program. We have 130,000 schools on our site. So there's 130,000 different sub-pages for each school. We encourage people to go visit their school on our site. And specifically, you can allow people to petition to order tests or upload their own test results, if they have already, of lead testing in either their homes or for their schools. And you can petition your local school board, school district, principal, and you can specifically crowdfund. So this is somewhat like a donor's choose, and they're choosing their own school. So your local elementary school, middle school, daycare, we have 130,000 schools there, and basically you can order a test. And the test can either be a basic test for the 6 heavy metals like lead, mercury, arsenic, cadmium, chromium, copper, or you can do a comprehensive test for your school of 114 different toxins. And full disclosure, we actually have zero profit from any of this, offer them at cost. And basically, you can crowdfund biannual testing 2 times a year for your school. And this is, I think, what's really incredible. That it takes you allows you to take the knowledge into your own hand and really empowers you to get firsthand knowledge of what is the situation in my school. And you can also sponsor it, or you could ask others, such as your local PTA, to join together, do it. And that's why we feel this is a really powerful campaign, because children is the most susceptible population. Because unlike other things, lead is permanent in terms of the brain damage to children. It's not like cholesterol or high blood pressure where you can exercise and use dieting or drugs to lower it. Lead brain damage is permanent. So this is why we really have to focus on a campaign towards children.
That's right. I'm a big believer in that too. And I think that, you know, you mentioned about how we can test your water. There's not a lot of companies out there that do it. And if they do, it's expensive, but your cost is very reasonable. And I think that everyone should test their water in their homes, in their offices. I mean, office buildings are notorious for dirty water, smelly water, right? And of course, for our schools. And the power of the community is what you're talking about. Because once we start really bringing the people together, parents together, the teachers together, then that's when we can make some big, big choices and make some big differences in our lives here. You know, I want to talk a little bit about what's been going on lately in the news, and the fact that we're going to have trouble. The EPA, you know, as you said, that, you know, they also have they're the ones that are creating some of the data for you, for us, for the entire country about what's going on. We're having issues with the EPA now. The funding's going to go down. How is that going to help us? I mean, really, how is that going to make it any better?
It's going to be terrible, because EPA cuts of potentially 30% or more, is going to be completely decimating environmental health. And water is obviously one of the key focus areas of the EPA. And even if the Trump administration doesn't cut the budget of the water testing per se, EPA enforcement is going to be really hurt. Because what happens is whenever there's a water high lead levels, there needs to be an EPA enforcement code on it. Basically, if EPA contacts the water department, says you need to remediate your water issue, whether it's some sort of other health warning. It could be bacteria like coliform or other toxins. There's enforcement around it. And without sufficient funding of EPA in general, enforcement is going to be a huge problem, in addition to monitoring and regular tests and basically cajoling local and state departments to report. Because the EPA reporting in itself is not perfect. And that's why we actually built Oxen Low. We knew EPA reporting is not perfect. Because the crazy thing of all this is, if you actually look at the EPA reports for Flint, Michigan, around the time that the Flint water tragedy crisis was occurring, it looked relatively normal. There was almost no excess warning. And that is a scary thing.
How could that be?
Because there was a lot of fraud committed, and that's why the several city managers were charged with the criminal negligence and fraud, and that's an ongoing case. But the crazy thing is, even in a given city, even supposedly you had perfect reporting, the EPA only requires you to report the 90th percentile. And what that means is, out of 100 tests, you can throw away 10, top 10 tests. You can say, basically have all these homes that are extremely high, and as long as there are 10 of them are above, and you can toss them out. And basically, you can have whole entire communities where 10% of the people of the homes are being lead poisoned, and everything will look normal. And in addition to that, there's lots of different gaming of the testing as Washington, D.C., Washington, District Columbia Water Department had problems with fraud and a lot of these monitoring testing. No one wants to report high levels. So there's a lot of ways the local water department gained the testing. And the crazy thing is, look in Boston. Boston, you know, Harvard, where I'm based, there is they only do 25 tests a year in Boston. The entire city of Boston, as if that's reliable, as if you ask 25 random different people about their opinions on anything, is that reliable for a city like Boston? But Boston only does 25 homes a year. Again, they tossed out the top 10 percentile. And still, Boston actually has borderline high levels. But is that really reliable? And if the city like Boston, as advanced and wealthy and educated as it is, what's their hope for rural America? Because many rural areas, they only are required to do testing once every 3, 5, 7 years, depending on how rural you are, and only then a very small handful. So basically what we need to solve this, we want to prevent another Flint tragedy. We need grassroots, you need a citizen campaign, you know, a sentinel surveillance of by and for citizens, where we all rally as just like local amateur weather reporters, amateur water monitoring sentinels that basically reports your results. And that's why Toxin Alert is a combination of not just EPA and U.S. Geological Survey data, but your own community that you can do your own tests. You don't even have to order from us. Any lab certified result, you can submit to us, and the results will appear on the website for everyone else in the community to know. And I think that community-based empowerment is really key, because we're never going to solve, if cities like Boston have so few tests, and if Flint, Michigan of the world look completely normal on the EPA, you know that there's got to be much more that we have to do ourselves. But we can't just rely on the government, especially with looming gigantic EPA cuts coming. So I think this is a tool for people to take in their own hands.
I think that's great. I mean, the information that you're saying is so important. But I'll tell you, not, it's just not the EPA here, though, because now, just in February, there was an executive order signed that there's going to be allowed more coal mining operations to dump waste into our streams and rivers. Now, across America, they've done studies, and they found that there's mercury in every stream, American stream and well, right? So, I mean, how are we going to protect that, which, you know, what I always talk about is you got to purify your own water, at least at in your home. Make sure that you clean it by using filtration. And just the over-the-counter over-the-counter filtration system is not enough. You need a reverse osmosis system that will purify your water, getting rid of the heavy metals.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, just, for example, one of the comprehensive tests, that if you want to do a rigorous test, has 114 different chemicals and toxins that it tests for. And, you know, some of, so it's not just lead. So, and even some of the normal filtration does not handle all of them. So, and here's the thing, like, it's not just water in your own home. Because water in your own home is just a tip of the iceberg. When you go to a restaurant, when you send your kid to eat school lunches, you know, is the pasta at the local restaurants using filtered or reverse osmosis filtered water? No, they're most likely just using tap water. And that's the scariest thing, because so much of your water exposure comes from outside of your home, and that is completely unmonitored. So I think it's really, you have to catalyze the social movement. You have to know what is the water in your home, your local area, because oftentimes the pipes in your neighborhood are correlated, even if it's not the city department per se. And what is the situation in the schools and restaurants near you? So it's really has to be a community-wide awareness. Just having a reverse osmosis filter in your own home is not going to cut it, because there's only much you can control in your own home.
That's right. That's a very, very good point. You're absolutely right, because we all eat out too. You know, you mentioned about Boston, where you have higher levels, although it's considered in the normal range. But, you know, people don't realize this, is that when you drink water, you don't just drink one cup a day. We drink many, many cups, and depending on your size and if you're an athlete. And those cups of lead will all accumulate, even though it's considered the normal range. It all accumulates in your tissues.
Right,
there you go.
Right. And what's crazy is, because lead and calcium compete. So basically, if you have low calcium, lead will basically squirrel and sequester away into your bones long term. And the crazier thing is, even if you have normal blood levels of lead, they could be hiding in your bones. And if a pregnant woman is you know, about to give birth, and so the baby's growing inside of her body, and she's not drinking enough calcium, or she has low calcium stores, basically all the lead that was supposed to be in her, the calcium is supposed to be in her bones, but instead lead, starts leaching out of her body. And then she could have normal blood lead, but all the lead from her bones could leach out and go into the baby. And so it's not just what is the current blood lead, it's also how much lead have you cumulatively had in your body, and that is what's going to affect your child as they're developing. And so there's so much people need to worry about, and this is such an important topic that the key thing is we have to know before we do anything, right? And so this testing is very important. And again, the EPA levels of 15 parts per billion for lead is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, most scientists consider 10 as parts per billion is already toxic, and Boston, for example, has been hovering around 10 for a long time. And the FDA actually says anything over 5 parts per billion of lead is already toxic in bottled water. So there is so much, and all the millions of people who are exposed to lead, that's just again, the tip of the iceberg. And there's so much more of other toxins, especially with other coal mining dumping in rivers and streams, that's going to get worse.
Yeah, I believe it's definitely going to get worse from right now forward. And you know, one of the things that I understand, finally, of course, Flint is getting their lead pipes, you know, removed and replaced. So what should we replace it with? Let's say that we were going to go into a new home and we want to, change out the pipes. What do you recommend?
Well, I'm not a water engineer or mechanical engineer in that kind of sense. But obviously copper. Copper is what we conventionally use, or there's other
PVC.
Brass, and, you know, and obviously these PVCs, they're, anything's better than lead pipes. But the thing is, like, so these lead service lines, you know, it's just going to cost billions of dollars to replace them all. We have to do it. You know, we need the infrastructure spending in order to do it, because this is poisoning our future generation. It's not just a once, it's not like a small pothole where, you know, you fill it and, you know, and it's fine, even if it gets neglected. This is our future of our country and our future generations and their intelligence and all their potential we're talking about here. So, but it takes a long time, and I don't think we're going to have all the budgets to solve the lead service line in all these rural communities, inner city, urban communities immediately. We need to fund it. We have to find money for it somehow. And until then, we have to be aware of what is the situation in our community around us.
Right. You know, one thing I noticed also, which was interesting, was that a lot of the data is back in 2014, maybe 2015. Is it because we just don't have enough and it's not current? I'm talking about on your website.
The reporting. When I was, right. So the EPA data is very slow to update. Very slow. The reporting rates are insufficiently quick. And for example, you know, even in Boston, you do testing only once a year in September, normally, and it's reported later on in, they report it to the state, and then state reports it to, passes it along to the EPA, and then EPA then posts it in their quarterly updates. So you're talking about like half a year or a year or longer, and that's a major city. And of all the testing, instead of all 25, you know, homes that they test per year, we only get one summary number for the most part for a water department. So the data is not as comprehensive, it's not as timely, and small towns, especially major cities, will have to do them once a year, but small towns and small water departments, they only have to report once every 3 years, once every 5, 7, and some rural places only once every 9 years, which is atrocious.
Wow.
Right. And that's just those who are required to report. For those ultra small towns, they have zero reporting requirements. If you use your own well water or well system, you're basically good luck. You know,
wow.
Fingers crossed. There's no hope. So there's reports. There's 4 million rural Americans who live in areas so small they're not covered under any water monitoring requirements whatsoever, and those are literally the Wild West. And oftentimes we rely on very, very ancient water systems.
Mm. You know, you mentioned that, you know, on your site, we can test your water for, you know, like under $60, which is awesome. But you mentioned
for
that
the 100 metals,
for the heavy metals. Well, how about that 114 different chemicals and toxins? Where do you do that?
Oh, that one right now we're offering for just the schools. So if you crowdfund directly your schools. But we're going to offer that publicly soon anyways. That one, because you have to send in a huge bulk sample to do 114 different compounds, we're including shipping for these heavy, heavy gallons of water that you have to send in. It's about $250. But again, it's completely at cost. We're not taking any profit. It's specifically negotiated to be lower than the normal retail value. Again, we just want the testing there. And if you have your own testing done, oftentimes you can actually ask your own water department. If you have a compelling need or worry to get tested, you can actually ask your own water department, and they will actually offer to do testing for your home or locale for free. So I encourage everyone to actually ask their own water department, can you do the testing in my home for my school, please, for free, because I have some conscious concern. And they'll do it. We encourage anyone who has lab-certified results for their local water departments or for their own home to submit it to our website, and we will get it updated. And it's really a selfless act because you can actually get the test alerted to everyone around you. It's not just for your own private knowledge, but you can get and petition for it so that your entire community knows about it. And knowledge is power, right? And so
right.
This is why we really, it's really, that's what we call a geosocial network. It's not just a database where you look it up or what's the value. You can actively contribute to it and really turn the tide in your community.
Well, what I did was I signed up myself. I want to know about the water in my neighborhood. I even checked it in my family's because they live up north in Northern California, Marin County area, and there's Napa Valley there. So, you know, there's a lot of pesticides and chemicals, I'm sure, up there too. So I checked in on that. And I think everyone should be able to use your toxinalert.org website really easily. Is it just water that you want to in the future? Will you be doing other toxins here? Or are you just concentrating on water right now?
At the moment, water. But I think the toxin issue is so much of a bigger issue because I'm thinking, you know, there's pesticide use in, you know, in foods, and because that's another big word, you know, pesticide exposure. Especially now that so many pesticides and fertilizers that are toxic are being deregulated by the new administration. It's going to be a crazy Wild West. So I think
you're talking about the chlorpyros, that one?
Yeah, there's so many.
There's so many, right.
So basically, I think food is also another major toxic issue that we want to address. We haven't solved a geographic way to solve it because comes from so many different farms, but I think awareness about these kind of things is something I really wish we have a rating system for every restaurant and another place that we go to, so we have a really good transparent way to know of how healthy are the vegetables and meats being served at any given location, kind of like a so I think there's so much we have to solve.
Yes, but you know what? You're doing a great thing, making sure that everyone across America are going to be able to find out about their water, how healthy and clean their water is. If everyone can do the water testing, putting it in and getting this done, especially for the schools as well, for our children, I think it's a really great start to becoming healthier again. Thanks so much, Dr. Ding. Amazing, great information. Toxinalert.org. I know you're on Facebook as well as Instagram and all that, or Twitter, I think. Thank you again. I put a link on my Wellness for Life radio show page. Now, this is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies for ultimate health and wellness right here on Radio MD. Until next time, stay well.